All this feeds a sense of uncertainty, with the Moscow political elite disoriented, according to Mr. Petrov. Investigative files on the two defense cases have existed for years, only to resurface now. Are the rules changing? What could be unearthed tomorrow, and against whom? At the same time, the mood of rudderless leadership has been worsened by questions over Mr. Putin's health. For much of October and November, Mr. Putin worked at his Novo-Ogoyovo residence outside Moscow, rarely going to the Kremlin and cancelling foreign trips to Bulgaria, India and Turkey, though he is now going to Turkey next week. News reports discussed a possible back problem caused by flying an ultralight plane beside some wild cranes in September. The Kremlin dismissed this, saying only that Mr. Putin had pulled a muscle while exercising. In another political system, the story might have stopped there, but in Russia, the mystery took on symbolic resonance. Over the years, Mr. Putin has played on traditional Russian deference to the leader while relying on manipulation of the media. The charismatic aura for Mr. Putin, says Lev Gudkov of the Levada Center polling group, has produced a system like Byzantium, only on television. The real point of the story about Mr. Putin's back was not the supposed ailment, but the breaking of a taboo over discussing his health and his future. The biggest concern is Mr. Putin's isolation. His claim to Germany's Angela Merkel that Pussy Riot members had hanged the effigy of a Jew in 2008 was bizarre and inaccurate. In fact, the band was protesting against anti-Semitism. Either he was misleading her, or he had himself been misled. Mr. Putin has spent over a decade in power, and Yevgenia Albats, editor of the Liberal New Times, talks of the typical syndrome of an aging general secretary. Compared with his early years in charge, when he relied on economic aides like German Greff and Alexei Kudrin, Mr. Putin has less faith in the counsel of those around him and more certainty in his own judgment. After a difficult year, he believes that he owes his position to a hard-fought electoral victory, unlike his colleagues who have no mandate from the voters, says Sergei Guliev of the New Economic School. On many issues, says one former adviser, Mr. Putin thinks he understands the situation, but in fact it can be quite incomprehensible for him. Decision-making in the Kremlin appears to be on hold. Mr. Putin has slowed down progress on the budget, on pensions and on privatisation. This may partly be a prudent move to sit out recent turmoil in global markets. But the danger of what Chris Wefer of Troika Dialogue calls a deliberate policy of inactivity is that Mr. Putin waits too long, acting only when the next political or financial crisis hits him. As for the campaign against corruption, it will go only so far. Corruption is a pillar of Putin-era stability as much as a threat to it. Much of what could be called corruption has become formalized, if not legalized, through official tenders, court rulings, and bank-approved loans. That makes it both more prevalent and amorphous, and harder to eliminate. Alexei Venediktov of the Echo Moskvy radio station likens the situation to turbulence in an aeroplane. The ruling class may know in which direction and with which pilot they are flying, he says, but the plane is shaking disconcertingly.